Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it. I know it sounds good to say you can play at the best level with the best out there, but where can you realistically play? Because if you make the wrong decision, you can find yourself on the outside looking in, and it won't be because you don't have skills. It'll just be because you tried to put yourself in a place where you didn't belong in the first place.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Listen, my new book, Work on Your Game, Using the Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Sports, Business, and Life, is coming out February 22nd. Go to workonyourgame.net and pre-order that book, because I'm going to give you some amazing bonus pre-order giveaways just for pre-ordering that book before it comes out on February 22nd. That website again is workonyourgame.net to get all the pre-order bonuses, pre-order the book from your favorite retailer, and get all this extra stuff from me in addition to getting this podcast. Again, that website, workonyourgame.net. Let's get to it. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline of showing up every day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you have expected to achieve by this point has yet to occur. But on top of all this, we're going to give you even more. You're going to get up the personal initiative, the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together in one package for you, and what you come out with is the mindset, the method, and the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is specifically for my basketball players who are angling for making it to the professional level. Now, those of you who are not basketball players or not athletes at all, or maybe you've already played pro basketball for whatever reason, you're not angling to become a pro basketball player, you should still listen to everything I have to say here today, because a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about is really about marketing and promoting yourself, positioning yourself, and the strategies behind what type of decisions that I would make, that I'm suggesting that a lot of athletes make if they want to get into this profession that they want to get into right now. So a lot of us are looking to get into our dream professions, dream jobs, dream businesses, dream industries. So I'm going to explain to you all today what specifically the topic is how I would go about becoming a pro ball player today if I was coming out of college right now, as opposed to when I actually came out of college, which was in 2004. And everything that I'm talking about here in today's episode, I wrote out in an article, which is called Your 10-Step Playing Overseas Basketball for 2019. You can find that, just Google it, or you can just go to DreAllDay.com/athletes with an S on the end. That's my athletes resource page. So any of you who are involved in sports, you should definitely have that page bookmarked, whether you play basketball or not. Because as I've said all the time on the show, even though I come from the background of playing basketball, a lot of the stuff that I talk about and the way that I explain it, whether in written or audio format or video format, it can be applied across the board to all sports, and it can be applied even to those of you, and I know that many of you, who are not even in the sports industry, at least not as a player, you can still apply these principles that I'm going to share here today. So today's topic, again, is how I would go about becoming a pro basketball player if I was getting into the game right now. And I want to give a little bit more background on this to especially those of you who don't really know much about playing professional basketball, at least outside of the NBA. I know everybody knows what the NBA is. You know LeBron James and Kobe and Shaq and Michael Jordan, Steph Curry and all of that. But there's a whole other world of professional basketball out there for players who may not have the opportunity to play in the NBA, whether you say they're not good enough, they didn't get the opportunity, they were overlooked, undersized, late bloomers, whatever you want to call it. Whereas the NBA has about 450 jobs. We could even say, let's say 500 jobs if you count a few guys who are on the fringes who may be in and out, and a few people on the fringes who are in and may end up out, and those who are out who may end up in. That's only 500 jobs. If you think about how many people play basketball aspirationally, so I say play aspirationally, meaning They're not just playing for fun. They're not just playing on the weekends. They don't just get up at 5 a.m. to play with their friends before they go to their offices and do their real world work. I'm talking people who actually want to go somewhere and do something as a basketball player for a full-time job. Only 500 spots in the NBA. Then you can look at the G League, which is the NBA's minor league, which as of this recording has about, let's just say, another 300 spots. So we're saying less than 1,000 positions for people to make money playing basketball. But overseas, when I say overseas, I don't necessarily mean going across the sea. You could go south to Mexico or South America. You can go north to Canada, or you can cross a sea, whether it be the Atlantic or the Pacific, depending on where you are in the USA, and go play in one of those continents, Asia, Australia, Africa, Europe. I don't think there are any leagues in Antarctica, but if they can make it happen, I'm sure there are some players listening to this right now who would gladly go play in Antarctica rather than go work at a regular job, quote unquote, regular job. And I know this to be true, first of all, because I was that player. I would have went to Antarctica rather than take my job at Foot Locker. And I know there are players who still feel that way to this day about their situations because I read your emails, I get your direct messages every single day. Again, this is background I'm giving for the people who are not so inclined to understand why this subject is important enough for me to give a whole episode to it, is that the same way that you may have had your dream job, whether that be starting a business or you wanted to get into a certain industry or just something that you wanted to accomplish for your life. There are a lot of athletes who put their whole lives, which you probably can understand, put their whole lives to quote unquote making it playing their sport. And being that professional basketball, the way that it is constituted presently, there's no governing body for it. There's no official place that you can call and say, okay, what do I need to do to be official here? For example, any of you who works in the law profession, you know that if you pass the bar exam in each state, you are officially a lawyer. You can practice law. There is no bar exam for being a professional basketball player. There's no college degree for playing a sport professionally. I don't know if there's any sport that has a college degree for it. There's no governing body. There is no official information that says, okay, this is exactly what you need to do to get into this. None of that official information exists when it comes to playing basketball professionally, especially if you're stepping outside of the USA and outside of the consciousness of most casual basketball fans who have no idea how overseas ball works. When I'm in my building in Miami, I'll be on the elevator and somebody will see me and the way that I dress and my physical stature, people see me and they say, man, you look like a basketball player. And they said, do you play basketball? And I say, yeah. You never heard of me? They say, no, who are you? I say, well, my name's LeBron James. Google me. But then after they laugh, I'll tell them, yeah, I played basketball professionally, but I didn't play in the USA. And they'll look at me twice. They'll look at me a little bit closer, like, wait a minute, who'd you play for? And they're kind of thinking, like, wait, should I know who this guy is? And I say, no, you probably never heard of me. I didn't play, not in the NBA in the United States. I played the majority of my career outside of the USA. And people have no idea how it works. They're like, well, how does that work? You know, is it one big league? Do you just, is overseas just a league? Like the NBA is a league and then you got overseas? So it doesn't work like that. Every country has its own league. The same way the United States is a country, it has a league. Italy has a league. France has a league. Spain has a league. Belgium has a league. So, and there are so many more small detail intricacies involved in that. I'm not going to explain all of that here in today's episode. And again, you can go to dreallday.com/athletes to read more detail on that for those of you who are so inclined. But today, with all that background given, I'm going to explain for my athletes and even for non-athletes. Again, y'all should be listening to this to just catch the similarities between what you may have done or may be looking to do in your industry, your profession. Maybe you don't even know what your industry or profession will be right now in the future. No matter how long you've been in the one that you're in, maybe that's not the place you want to end up. And for, of course, for you athletes out there who want to get into the pros and you're looking for ways to do that. And oh, one last thing, just to give you my credibility on this point, is not just because I went and played pro basketball abroad, because a lot of people have played pro basketball abroad. And another piece I need to share on addition to that, that I forgot to mention, while there are 500 and let's say 800 jobs in the United States between the NBA and the G League, which is the NBA's minor league, there are another roughly 10,000 jobs outside of the United States. But I want to be clear, when I say 10,000 jobs, it does not mean that 10,000 of us could go play overseas right now, because that's 10,000. That's men and women combined. And that's also all the roster spots. And one thing that I want to make sure I'm pointing out here that's not in my notes for today's episode that I'm thinking of at this moment is that going outside of the United States to play in a league, the rosters will not be filled completely with American players. In many countries and or many leagues, there is a limit to how many players who are not from that country can be on the roster. So, for example, I'm trying to think of the places that I played. You know, almost every place that I played, I was the only American. Not every place. Let's say about half the places I was at, I was the only American on my team. And I played against teams that sometimes would not even have an American on their roster, whether that was because of budgetary constraints, whether they couldn't provide housing, whether they just didn't want an American on the team. Maybe they couldn't afford an American, or maybe it's just something that wasn't normal yet in that country. So even though there are 10,000 overall jobs available for players outside of USA, I would say for male and female each individually, you're looking at fewer than 1,000 total jobs available for you outside of the USA. So we would say, just in general here, just to be clear, there are fewer than 2,000 paying basketball jobs available in the entire known universe for players. That's 2,000 for men and fewer than 2,000 for women. Because for women, it's an even smaller number, because the WNBA does not have as many teams as the NBA. And the WNBA also does not have a G League. There's no women's version of the G League with all those roster spots. So for women, there are even fewer spots. And my women players who are listening to this, who may be on this journey right now, I'm sure you're aware of that. So without further ado, I've given you 10 minutes of preface for this. And that was really for my non-athlete listeners to sell you on listening to this episode. Hopefully you are sold already. Let's get right into it. Point number one, again, the topic, how I go about becoming a pro basketball player if I was starting today. Number one thing I would do retroactively is I would try to get on an NCAA Division I basketball team roster and play for that school for 4 years, or just be on a roster for 4 years, sitting on a bench even for 4 years. And why am I saying this? And I'm going to give some, I got some heavy disclaimers to go with this one, okay? Pedigree matters. The reason why I'm saying this, pedigree matters to decision makers who are from outside of the USA who are looking at your roster. Now, I know this because I went to a Division III school and I was there and I had statistics. I had been on the roster, but I would also let you know that I saw players who went to Division I schools, sat on the bench. I went and looked up their stats. I would see players who have played at Division I schools, say North Carolina or Duke or NC State or Wichita State, some D1 school. I never heard of this player. And I'm thinking to myself, I never heard of this guy. He played for North Carolina. And I would go look up his stats and I see that he was on the roster 4 years. He didn't play. Played 2 minutes a game as a senior. Didn't even play, but these players were getting opportunities to play professional basketball overseas. And I guarantee they didn't even have to do much selling to get those opportunities. It was the fact that they had that D1 pedigree, quote unquote, that got them more opportunities than a player from a D2 or a D3 school just because of their association. This is the law of association in effect. Now, whether you agree with this or not does not matter. It really doesn't, because the people who make the decisions is what they think that matters. And when I was coming out of school, I saw a lot of players coming from Division I schools who barely played getting opportunities. I'm like, does this guy even care about basketball? He couldn't get himself any playing time in 4 years. And then someone else who went to a D2 or a D3 played a bunch of minutes. But because they played a D2 or D3, even with impressive statistics, they still had to scrape and call to get an opportunity, even if their stats were great. They could be averaging 20-some points per game. They weren't getting the same looks just because of what they were associated with the school that they had been associated with. And this is just the truth of it. Now, I want to give you some disclaimers here, because maybe we have some players and or coaches listening to this right now who are not at a D1 school. Maybe you're at a D2 or a D3 or a JUCO, or maybe you're a player who has not any college experience, but you still want to play. So let me give you the disclaimers. First of all, if I had had the ability to go to a Division I school and get on the roster, first of all, you got to have the skills to cut it there, because you don't want to be, as you heard Wes Pfeiffer say in episode 883, the second time he was on the podcast, he said, you see a lot of players at the end of every basketball season transferring from Division I schools to other schools. And the reason why is they didn't have the skills to cut it on that D1 roster. So just because you go to a school that has a D1 program doesn't mean you're going to make the team. And just because you make the team, even on scholarship, does not mean you will earn a spot on that roster for 4 years straight. It's something that I don't think all athletes know, is that your scholarship has to be renewed every year. So if you suck your first year, it doesn't mean you got 3 more years guaranteed. You got to earn it every single year. If you can't play, you can lose it. And I've seen players, I've personally known players who got D1 scholarships because they may have played in the right AAU program, been around the right coach who was a great salesperson, who helped get his players D1 scholarships, who after that first year at that D1 school ended up transferring to a D2 or a D3, simply because those players never could play in the first place, but the coach was a good enough salesperson, the AAU or the high school coach was a good enough salesperson to get that player that first year of scholarship. 1 year of scholarship does not guarantee the next 3 years, players, so please make sure you have the skills to cut it where you go. And this is where you kind of got to be honest with yourself. And this is something that Wes Pfeiffer also said. You got to be, and Wes is a D1 coach. For those of you who didn't hear that episode, go listen to it. That's 883. He also said, you got to be honest with yourself. Where can you realistically play? And I know it sounds good to say you could play at the best level with the best out there, but where can you realistically play? Because if you make the wrong decision, you could find yourself on the outside looking in, and it won't be because you don't have skills. It just be because you try to put yourself in a place where you didn't belong in the first place. So you got to have the game to get on the floor. And at a D1, a coach may advise that you leave just because they don't see you getting on the roster. And I've seen it happen, like I said. And the belief, understand that even though I talk about confidence every day on this podcast and self-belief being one of the most important tools you can have as an athlete, belief becomes a differentiator only when the skill differences are small. It's not when you are completely overmatched skill-wise. You can't just believe yourself into doing better. Listen, if I call a plumber to come fix some plumbing issue in my home, I could believe all I want that I could fix it better than a plumber. But if the plumber knows things that I just don't know, if the plumber has skills and experience that I just don't have, it doesn't matter how much I believe, that's not going to change the fact that the plumber can get the job better than Dre can get the job done. So you got to make sure you have the skills to compete in whatever it is you're going to be involved in. This is very subjective, and this is where you have to use your own best judgment. So barring this, let's just say, this is point number one here. Let's barring the fact that I'm at a D1, and I can't retroactively go back, and right now I'm at a D3 or a D2 or a JUCO, or I didn't go to school at all, or I'm done school at one of those levels, here's what I would do moving forward. Point number two, make a decision. First article I ever wrote about playing basketball professionally, I wrote the things that you need to do if you want to play basketball overseas. And the very first point in that article, I wrote that article probably about 10 years ago. The article's still up online today. If you Google play basketball overseas, that article will probably be the first result on Google. The first point is make a decision. And I added some more language into that sentence, but the point still stands. You got to decide that you're all in on playing basketball pro or whatever sport you want to play pro, especially if you don't have that yellow brick road going straight to the highest possible league and they're not calling you, but you got to call them. The situation that I was in and many athletes have been in, you got to decide that you're all in on this. And being all in on something, I'm going to make sure I'm being clear here. Being all in on something doesn't mean talking about it, doesn't mean posting it online, doesn't mean telling everybody that you're all in on it. It means you got to make some investments in yourself, including with your money, in yourself and in your goals, not just talking about it. And I talked about in episode 229 of the Work on Your Game podcast, which you can listen to at dreallday.com/podcast. A real plan A does not have a plan B. A real plan A does not have a plan B. You only make a plan B when you're not quite sure plan A is going to work. And that's okay. If you don't think plan A is going to work, you want to make a plan B, C, D, E, and F. But a real plan A, like this one right here, if you're going to try to play sports professionally, you can't kind of halfway do it. It can't be a part-time job for you. You have to be all in on making this happen. And once, until you've made the decision that I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this work, you're probably not going to get it to turn over the way that you want to. So the first thing you got to do is decide, this is really what I want to do. And if you decide it's not what you really want to do, that's okay. Listen, everybody's not going to make it. As I told you, it's only, if there are more people listening to this episode right now than there are jobs playing professional basketball in the world, at least in the known world that we know of where basketball is being played. Who knows if the aliens, you know, from Space Jam, maybe they got a league somewhere that you can go play in, but I don't know how you would get there. And on the globe that we live on, Earth, there are only less than 2,000 positions for you. Everybody ain't making it. So if you don't want to make that decision that you're going to be all in on this, that's okay. Go do something else. But you must be all in if you're going to make it. Point number three. Today's topic is what I would do, how I would get myself into professional basketball if I was trying to get in today. I would find my best possible routes for exposure. See, if I'm coming from a small school and anything lower than a D1 is a small school, if I'm coming from that small situation or no school at all is also a small school, or you could say no school, I got to get myself seen. I got to get myself seen by people who can make decisions, who can move my career forward, which means I probably need to go somewhere that we call an exposure camp. An exposure camp is basically a job fair for athletes. Now, this right here, the point that I'm making here is not to go to one, but to find the best ones. I would need to do some research here to find where is my best opportunity. And this is me finding my best opportunity is not just where's the best possible camp, but also where's the camp where I can get myself seen best, where I'm going to get the best opportunity to play the position in the game that I want to play, where I'm not going to be overshadowed by others, and where there are going to be enough decision makers there watching that even if I play amazing, somebody's going to actually see it. You don't want to play amazing and nobody saw it. All right? You don't want to be the tree falling in the forest and nobody's there to hear it. So this is where you got to make a time investment. Now, in episode 609, I told you about the five forms of investment. So I just talked about when you decide that you're all in on this, you're going to have to make some money investments. So start thinking about how much money you're going to put aside to make those money investments. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Now I'm talking about your time investment. Now, five forms of time, money, attention, energy, and focus. Your time investment is into research to finding where's the best place. And this is not just asking somebody to tell you where you should go and what you should do. Because every camp, every exposure camp ain't for everybody. And those of you who don't know what an exposure camp is or how it works is you show up as an athlete. They have these in football. They have them in basketball. I don't know what other sports they do it in. You show up there. A bunch of basketball players show up aside from yourself. They throw you all on teams. You do drills. Hopefully you do some drills. You do some kind of stuff there. You can show off your physical tools. And then they team you up and they, you playing games against other players where everybody on that court is hungry to play overseas or pro ball or get a contract or move their career forward just like you are. And the audience is full of people who can make decisions that can change your career, get you your next opportunity, get you your first opportunity. That's what an exposure camp is. And if it sounds like a meat market, that's exactly what it is. It's a meat market because everybody's trying to eat. It is cutthroat, is kill or be killed out there. There's nobody there who's just content with where they are in their career. All right. Everybody who's content with where they are in their career, they not at an exposure camp. All right. So you going against a bunch of people who are just as hungry as you are, and you're going to have to show your game when nobody else there cares whether you show your game or not. All right. The coaches are trying to show their game. The players trying to show their game. The referees are trying to show their game. And you're going to have to do what you got to do in those situations. It is not for the faint of heart, and it's not for the faint of game either. So this is where you got to do your research and figure out where's the one that best fits your skill level, where you get to play your position and get a fair look by people who are looking for your level of player. Again, this is where you need to be honest about yourself. What type of player would I be and what level exposure camp should I go to where these people are going to be? And again, this is where you got to do your research and find out where this makes sense. I remember going to an exposure camp that was run by a well-known agent. This guy was well-connected as far as overseas players. He had several clients. This guy had about 100 clients in his agency. He wasn't the only agent, but he was the main guy. Agency was named after him. He had all of these clients, and they were playing in all these different countries. I mean, he basically had players in every single country in Europe playing somewhere at the previous season. He held a camp. I said, this is the camp that I need to be going to. I invested my money in it. I even spoke to the guy on the phone. I went to his camp, and the challenge at his camp was not that the players weren't good. The players were very good. And it's not that there weren't decision makers there. There were a lot of decision makers sitting in the stands. It was the most I think I'd seen at any camp that I'd ever went to. The thing was, all the decision makers there were there to see this agent's players. And I was not one of his players. I had came to his camp just as I signed up for the camp and went. But the majority of the players at that camp were his players. They were signed to his agency. And those are the players that were being looked at. The decision makers weren't paying any attention to anybody other than those guys. And that was a bad decision by me. But it was some experience that I got. And I'm able to tell you that story now, which further enforces the point that I'm making. You had to do your research and figure out where is the best place for me to go. Just because it has the most players or has an agent that has the most guys signed or the most people got signed at the previous year's camp does not necessarily mean that's the best place for you to go. Every camp is not for everybody. You need the one that best fits your situation. You got to be honest with yourself here. And once you find some camps, now we move on to point number four. Today's topic is what I would do if I was trying to get into pro basketball starting today. Right now, you got to stack your money. Now, I told you, you're going to have to make some investments in yourself when you're all in. And you being a player who just got out of college, I'm assuming you didn't have a full-time job. And if you did, you weren't working in a way that would make you the maximum amount that you could have been making had you not had the school burden to go along with your job. You're going to have to stack up some money. When I got out of college, I didn't have a lot of money saved up. Now, I didn't have any money saved up, actually. And then I started working. I had to save up my money because I knew for me to go to these exposure camps, in case I haven't said this yet, so those of you who don't know, exposure camps ain't free. Okay, you don't just walk into the camp. All right? It's not a public park. They are for-profit events. There's someone running it who's running it to make money. Hopefully they make money. They don't all make money. You got the venue. You got the jerseys and uniforms. You got the food, the videos, whatever else goes along with it. Those things cost money, and everybody who shows up at a camp has to pay that money. So you got to stack your money so you're ready to make that investment. Now, let's talk about the G League here in this point right here, because many players will come to me and tell me how they're about to go try out for the G League. Now, I did a few tryouts for the G League. At the time, it was still called the D League, for Developmental League. The G now is just for Gatorade. Gatorade became the title sponsor of the league a couple years ago. A lot of players come to me telling me that they're going to go try out for the G League locally, wherever it is that they live, because the G League has a couple national tryouts in a central location. They also have local tryouts for every team. Teams will have several tryouts in the local area of wherever their team is based or wherever their parent team is based. So, for example, the Miami Heat have a G League team, but the team doesn't play in South Florida. The team plays in, I believe their team is the Sioux Falls. Is it Sioux Falls? I believe it's Sioux Falls, I think. And that's in Iowa. I think it's in Iowa. So forgive me, anybody who lives in Sioux Falls, shout out to y'all. But their team is nowhere near where the Miami Heat play. But they have open tryouts near their G League team's location. And they have open tryouts down in South Florida where their parent team plays. So they basically, the G League hits every location, every area in the United States. So any player in anywhere in the USA can go try out for a team, and it's not too far away from where you live. And this is why a lot of players go try out for the G League, because it's the simplest, it's the closest. And I mean, technically speaking, you are trying out for the NBA, quote unquote. But I want to talk about that. And you don't know, here on this podcast, I'm always going to give you the real exactly as it is. My opinions and views cannot be purchased. Trying out for the G League is very popular because A, is technically a tryout for the NBA. And this is something that, if you ever been a star in your neighborhood or played great on your local playground or put some YouTube or Instagram videos up where you look really good in the video, you're going to get some fans and some comments of people saying, what? Yo, why don't you try out for the NBA? Like, yo, if such and such could have a job in the NBA and sit on the bench, you could play in the NBA. I know I'm not the only person who ever heard that comment. People say that who don't, casual fans say that, who don't really understand what the game is really like when you're actually on the court. It looks a lot different when you're on the court than when you're sitting even in courtside at the game. And another reason why G League tryouts are so popular is because they're easy to get to, as I just explained. They are cheap and they're convenient. It's close to home. A G League tryout for you to try out is usually just a one-day tryout. It's about maybe 150 to maybe 250. I never saw a tryout fee that was more than $250 for one day. And that's it. You go there, you drive to the venue, or if you got to fly, most of the time you don't even have to fly if you're going to a local tryout. You play ball there for maybe 2 hours, 4 hours, maybe the entire day, and that's it. It's a very low investment time-wise, travel-wise, money-wise. With an investment that small, let me ask you a question, because we talk about investing in yourself all the time here on the show, and I mentioned those five forms of investment all the time, right? Time, money, attention, focus, energy. If you only had to make a small investment like that, and that is a relatively small investment when it comes to trying to get yourself on in professional basketball. Any of you who have gone to an exposure camp, you know $150 is pretty much nothing. When you're making an investment that small, what kind of real opportunity do you think you're getting in exchange? You're talking about an opportunity to do what you've always wanted to do in your life, reach your dream, change your life, whatever you once in a lifetime opportunity, whatever you want to call it, whatever the G League tries to sell it to you as. What kind of real opportunity do you think you're going to get if all you had to invest is a 20-minute drive and $150? Now, I'm going to be clear and I'm going to acknowledge that there have been some players. There's one guy I'm thinking of in particular by name of Jonathan Simmons, as the story goes. He plays for Orlando Magic right now. He's on a contract that I think he signed for maybe $20 million a couple years ago. He went to a G League tryout. As the legend goes, he borrowed money from his mom to pay for the entry fee to the camp, went to the camp, played great, ended up playing in the G League for a year, maybe two, ended up on the San Antonio Spurs, showed a lot of promise, and then signed a free agent contract with the Orlando Magic. And he's like the one example that people say, well, look, you could go to an open G League tryout and you could become Jonathan Simmons and get a $20 million contract. The same way that someone says, well, look, you can go from high school to the NBA, become a superstar like LeBron James. I mean, it did happen. You can't stand here and deny that that happened, but I want you to understand, at the same time, we got to look at the reality, and that's a word that I don't use too often, but look at the reality of how many people were probably even at that one tryout and every other tryout over the last 10 years at a G League. How many of them do you know of who became that guy? And how much of that story do we not know? I mean, we know the fairy tale part of it, but are there any other parts of that story that we don't know about? We don't know. So I want to ask you a question here. What kind of real look do you think you're getting when you make such a small investment? You want to get a big payback, you got to make a big investment. Any of my business people, entrepreneurs, business owners who are listening to this right now, if I got this wrong, I want you to please correct me. If you want to get a big payback, you got to make a big investment. And I'm not just talking about your money. I'm talking about your time, your energy, your attention, your focus. You find out how many players from an open local tryout. That means some G League team has an open tryout in the area of their team who are unknown when they walk into the gym. Nobody knows them. They were not invited. They don't know the coaches. Coaches never heard of them. And they end up even at training camp for a G League team, which is where you basically get to try out and earn your spot on the roster. How many of them end up in a training camp, let alone on a roster, let alone playing, let alone in the NBA, let alone become a free agent and get a big contract? Very, very few. I would say fewer than 1%. Actually, I'm not going to say, I could pretty much say that guaranteed fewer than 1%. An exposure camp is a more real chance. All of that I'm saying to give you this point. You got a more real chance of getting yourself a professional basketball contract when you go to an exposure camp where someone is truly giving you a shot and giving you a real look for what you're doing. However, all of that said, this is still point number four that I'm making here, and I wanted to make sure I talked about the G League here because talking about playing professional basketball, there was thousands of players who try out for the G League every year and they give that money. Here's something else I know. I'll tell y'all a quick story. In 2012, I went to the local G League tryout for the Miami Heat's affiliate, which is, I can't even remember the name of their team, but the Miami Heat's G League affiliate, D League at the time. They had an open tryout in Miami. And those of you who ever watched my YouTube videos playing ball, the exact gym that I worked out in every day, that's where they had the tryout at. It was on a Sunday morning. It was maybe $100 or $150 camp fee. And I remember pulling up to the gym that day, same gym I work out in every day, and there were 250 basketball players at this tryout. 250 players at a tryout. Now, before I tell you the rest of the story, I want to ask my coaches, my trainers, my basketball or sports evaluators listening to this right now. If you were running a tryout and there were 250 hopeful players trying to impress you who are showing up, how many people on staff would you need in the gym that day in order to make sure you saw everybody and really got a good look and made sure you didn't miss anything? 250 people in the gym. How many people you need with you? Let's say you're the head coach. Would it just be you? Could you see everybody at the same time? I mean, how many would you need with you just to make sure you got a good look at everybody and everybody could put their notes together and say, all right, these are the people we're interested in. How many? Let's say I was coaching and I know it's 250 guys in the gym. I want like at least 8 people overall on staff with me, at least 8 of my assistants, evaluators, whatever you want to call them, scouts with me to make sure that they saw something because they might have noticed something that I didn't even see because I wasn't able to pay attention. I was doing this thing or I was doing that thing, right? So at this G League tryout that I'm talking about in 2012, there were 2 people. And the funny thing is I pulled up to the gym at the same time that the 2 coaches from the G League team pulled up. They were in this small little rental car that was a little bit too small for both of them. They both got out. They were the ones at the table taking the money. They were the ones making sure everyone was registered and all that. And then they came in and they ran it. And it was just 2 of them the whole day. There were 2 full courts going at the same time. There's no way that they saw everything that was happening. And I'm pretty sure, I'm 98% sure that the money that those teams collect for these local tryouts, that money goes right into funding the G League teams. And this is something that I talked about on Twitter, where the G League just recently, when the NBA came out with this, the video game league, the league for the guys who play NBA 2K, what do they call it? The 2K League. It was announced that the players in the 2K League were going to get paid $35,000 for 6 months of playing in this 2K League. And I remember tweeting as soon as that got announced, I was like, how are they going to pay the video game guys $35,000, whereas the G League players were not even making that much? Some video game players, all the video game players are going to be making almost twice as much as some players in the G League. Based on the G League's pay scale from the 2017-18 season. Could you believe that? I just thought it was disrespectful to the players. And I tweeted specifically that. A couple weeks later, the G League announced, we're going to start paying G League players the same amount that we're going to pay, that same $35,000 that we're going to pay the players who play the 2K League. Because they knew it looked bad PR-wise. It just didn't look like it wasn't a good look for them to play the video game, guys. They're playing a video game that's based on basketball players. But the actual players will be making less, the G League players given, we're making less than them. So they went and changed that. And I'm telling you that to share with you the fact that the G League doesn't make that much in revenue. They use your open tryout fee to fund their operations. Now, I'm not saying that as it means that the G League is doing anything wrong. They are a business. They are providing a service, and they are technically providing you a quote-unquote opportunity to selling you a lottery ticket, which you might hit it big and make it to the NBA. Maybe you will. I'm not telling you not to try out for the G League. I'm just giving you everything you need to know so that when you make your decision, you cannot say that you are misinformed. That's what I do when I talk about the things that I know here on this podcast. So, going into point number 5, with all that said, I would personally not attend a local G League tryout, but I would attend the G League national tryout. Now, the difference between the local and the national is that the local tryout, they'll take anybody's money. There were stories, I don't know if anyone does it anymore these days. Actually, I know they do because I read a story about it recently with the Washington Wizards. They just started their first season right now with their first G League team. But back when the G League first started having these open tryouts, a local reporter, like somebody who used to play basketball in high school, but now they're a reporter for the local newspaper, they would pay the $150 fee, or at least they get their bosses to expense it, and they would go actually attend the tryout. So anybody, any clown, any superstar can walk into an open tryout, and the G League team will gladly take your $150 bucks and let you try out for the team, let you write a story about it, make a YouTube video about it, Instagram the whole situation, whatever you want to do. Whether you have a real chance of making it or not, they don't care. Money is money, right? Republicans buy sneakers too, as Michael Jordan once famously said. At the G League national tryout, however, they're a little bit more selective about their process. Now, I also attended the G League national tryout. This was in 2009. I did the G League national tryout. At the time, they only had one. It was in Los Angeles. From what I understand, they have a couple of them each year now. I know they do one in Chicago as well. Now, at the G League national tryout, they only take a certain number of players, and they also filter through all the applications to choose the most qualified players. So the play level is a little bit higher at the national tryout. But the reason why I like the national tryout, and this is something that I would do, even if I wasn't sure how much of a chance I'd really be getting or how much of opportunity was really available to me, is because I get to measure myself against high-level players also on a big stage to see where I'm at. This is something that I would do for myself. And the topic again today is what I would do if I wanted to play pro basketball right now, get into the game. I would attend the G League national tryout. At least I would apply, and hopefully I get into it. And if you have any kind of college basketball resume, if you've done anything, or if you played pro ball at all, you'll probably get into the tryout, and then you can go there and see what's up. There's going to be a overall good distribution of players, so you're going to have enough big guys. I don't know how many of you have been to an exposure camp where if you're a 6'5 guard, but you go to an exposure camp where everybody's 6'4 and shorter, now you find yourself playing power forward or center, even though you want to play point guard or shooting guard on a real team, but you can't because there's nobody your size there. At the national tryout, that won't happen. All right, you'll have some 7-footers on your team. You'll have the people who want to play center playing center, people who are bigs playing big, and guards playing guard. You won't have this glut of people not being able to play their position because there's not the right distribution of players. You don't have that problem at the national tryout. And also, at the G League national tryout, all the coaches are there. All the coaches from the G League are at that tryout. All the scouts from the G League are at that national camp. So you can't say you went somewhere and nobody saw it. Whatever you do there, it will get seen by the right people. Now, what's going to happen after that depends on your performance and depends on their decision making. But though the right people will all be there watching you do what you do. Point number 6. Today's topic is what I would do if I wanted to get into professional basketball starting right now, today. Key point is to network. Networking is a huge thing that you need to do. Networking just means make friends, build relationships, have people who know you and people whom you know who you can call on for information and for help in whatever way that you may need it. Networking brings information to you that you will need because things are always changing. Because the information I'm giving you right now today, 5 years from now, some of this may not matter because the G League may change how they do their tryouts. They may change whether they even have open tryouts. Exposure camps may change completely. There may be some new events and opportunities available, and I'll probably update with this with a new episode when as things change. But you need to network because there are people out there who are in places that I'm not in, who know people who I don't know, who have done things that I haven't done, who may have some information that could also help you. So there is no downside. I've said this many times. There's no downside to knowing more people and having more people know you in a positive, favorable way. So you want to know as many people as you possibly can. Other people have information and they have insights. And listen, when you're trying to play pro ball, you only need one team to be interested in you. So the more people you know, the better. Information is always changing, and the right contact at the right time is all you need to get yourself on. So point number 7, today's topic, is what I would do to get myself into pro basketball right now. And that point number 6, I just want to make sure you all understand, that one should be in bold letters if you're taking notes. Emphasize that networking. Go and meet people and show them that you have something that's worth it. Like having game will make people want to network with you. Now, if you're a bum trying to network with people, nobody's going to want to talk to you. So make sure your game is in order. Number 7, I would attend an exposure camp, and I want to make sure what kind of exposure camp I would tell you to attend, the kind that I would attend. I would attempt, if I could, to attend an exposure camp that's being held outside of the United States. I would go abroad for an exposure camp, whether that means going to Spain, go to Germany, go to, China, go to France. I would go to an exposure camp being held outside of the United States, and I'm going to explain to you why. Okay, and I'm going to give you everything you need to know about this, too. The upside and the downside. Number 1, if you go to an exposure camp held in Europe, more than likely there will be more European players at that camp than there are American players at that camp. Now, why does that matter? Any of you who have played basketball before and you're from the United States of America, you'll appreciate this point. European raised players just play basketball far less selfishly than American raised players. And I include myself in it. American-raised players were raised on the highlight culture, were raised on Instagramming and YouTubing, and look at me. That's what we're raised on, making ourselves look good. Doesn't matter how anybody else looks or even how the team was. If we make ourselves look good, we're happy. There are players who think like that, and there are players who kind of think a little bit of both. We want the team to win, but we also want to look good while the team wins. European players are not raised that way. And from my experience playing pro basketball in Europe, European players, for the most part, frown on the everybody get out of the way, let me go one-on-one, let me shine to the detriment of everyone else. They don't play that way. They're not raised that way. They don't think that way. And if you go there playing that way, they're looking at you like you're crazy. Like, why do you keep trying to go one-on-one? Why do you keep calling clear outs? No, we set screens here. We pass and move without the ball. I had players tell me this. We'd be in practice and I'd be trying to call clear outs. They'd be like, man, why do you keep trying to go one-on-one? That's not how they're raised to play. And this will play to your advantage if you as an American go over there because they'll pass you the ball. All right, they'll set screens for you. They'll be happy to watch you go coast to coast and do your thing. It'll be exciting to them if you can do it efficiently. Okay, I mean, you won't be competing against them. You won't be competing against your own teammates for the ball if you go to a campus in Europe, at least not as much as you would if you go to a camp in the USA, where, I mean, I've been in camps in the USA where the other team scores a basket and there are 4 guys from my team all trying to bring the ball up the court. And then you got 2 of them who are upset because they're not getting to bring the ball up. And they're like, man, I can't play my game. You don't want to be on that team where you've already made an investment in trying to get your career going and you got to deal with that. You're better off going to a camp that's in Europe. It is much more conducive to you playing, quote unquote, your game without another teammate trying to compete with you for trying to play their game. You understand what I'm saying? And another reason why you want to go to a camp that's held abroad is European decision makers. You know, the people who could actually sign you to a contract or the agent who would come to represent you, is much easier for them to attend a camp that is held in Europe than it is for them to attend a camp in the USA. It costs a lot less money and it's a lot easier to travel between countries in Europe than it is to travel from Europe to the United States. And if you've ever flown from in between Europe and USA, I think you can easily appreciate that. This is still all part of point number 7. To attend an exposure camp being held abroad. Fewer Americans means you will stand out just by existing. Right, just by your very existence as an American, you will stand out even better if you can actually play. Now, if you're an American and you can't play, then people are going to be looking at you, man, how about this bum ass dude come all the way from the USA to here to come to this camp and can't even play? Don't be that person, okay? Be somebody who can play. By being American, you're already getting extra attention. Now, if you can play on top of that, even better. But I want to give you some truths about going to actually the most important truth about you attending an exposure camp held outside of the United States is that it will require a larger investment for you to go there than it would for you to go to, let's say, the G League. Probably 20 times the investment, maybe. let's not say 20, 10 to 15 times the investment. You go to an exposure camp held in Europe, you're going to invest $2,000 easily between your flight, your outbound and your return flight, between the camp fee that you have to pay. Maybe you had to pay for a hotel, but usually the hotel would be included. Any food that you pay for out there, in addition to whatever meals are provided, any souvenirs or sightseeing that you do while you're out there, is going to cost you a good, even if you go cheap, let's say $1,500 to $2,000. So this is why I said earlier, you got to save your money up so you can make these investments in yourself. It will put you in a better position overall, in my opinion, which means if you're going to do this, make this investment, you're going to invest $2,000 in the chance that you could get a career going, you better have your game in order. All right, don't show up there out of shape. I went to a camp once and there were guys there, American players, not in shape. I mean, we're doing a layup drill, a full court layup drill, layups, people. Dude was out of shape. I'm like, yo, why would you even invest in this? You're not even in shape. You come into a camp to play basketball. You can't even run up and down the court five times without getting tired. And people are just, the coach is just looking at him like, really, dude? Like, why did you come all the way over here? You don't want to be that person, all right? You're not going to be that. So we ain't got to talk about that no more. You're going to make a bet on yourself. Have your game in order, all of your game. Number eight, today's point, topic, how I get myself into pro basketball if I was starting today. Point number eight, I would increase my chances by, in addition to that European camp, I would go to some camps in the USA. And again, more investment you got to make in yourself. I would go to some well-established camps in the USA. Competition will be tough. Know this up front. Well-established means camps that have been running year after year after year, which means they're working. This means they're getting players into jobs. This means decision makers are coming and liking it, which means players who are good keep showing up to these camps, meaning this is a place that you should go to at least measure yourself. If nothing else happens, you can measure yourself against players who are actually signing contracts to play pro basketball, and you're being evaluated by people who are used to finding players who end up signing contracts. They're used to finding players there, and you're on the court with those guys. So you can at least measure yourself if nothing else happens, and maybe you'll be the one who gets yourself an opportunity. The competition will be tough, but the whole event will be very professionally run. If you want to be a pro, you need to be where the pros are. Number nine, today's topic, how I would get myself in a pro ball starting today. Grab footage from everywhere that I mentioned so far, whether it's a G League tryout, a European exposure camp, an American exposure camp. It's in 2019, there's no camp you should go to that's not providing footage of the games. And you should not be leaving a camp without a link to download or a USB card or whatever you got to have to download the footage of your games. You should have footage of every second you play at any exposure camp. In 2007, maybe it was a question. In 2019, there's no question. All right, make sure you have footage of everything you've done. Make yourself a no-frills highlight video. What is a no-frills highlight video, Dre? That means no free throws. We know you can make free throws. No rap lyrics. All right, if you want to put some background music, the instrumental in the background, do that. Keep the volume down, okay? Nobody cares about your favorite Meek Mill song. Keep the volume down in the background. No free throws. No frills, no extra stuff. Don't wow us with your editing skills and all the extras that you put into it. Save that for your YouTube fans and your Instagramming. Keep it very simple. Get straight to the substance. Like within the first 5 seconds, I want to see somebody playing basketball. Okay? None of the extra stuff. And keep the video short. This is your highlight video. All right, can you do that? I don't need to explain that anymore, do I? Number, if you think it's extra, it's extra. And point number 10, this is the last point. Today's topic, what I would do to get myself in a pro ball starting today. Make sure you have a resume ready and available. Resume doesn't necessarily mean a one sheet of paper. It just means you need to have this information in one place. So when someone asks you for it, you can just copy and paste it and send it to them. Here's the information. Your name, your age, your measurables, height, weight, positions that you play, where you have played, what have you done to this point, whether it's college, whether it's pro. We need your statistics from the places that you play. And don't lie about your stats, please. They find out you out about your stats, you can forget about the opportunity. Where are you currently? Where do you live? You live in Detroit, Michigan. That's your current location. Where do you live? Where are you right now? Then your highlight video, a link to your highlight video, which I should see footage of you playing within 5 seconds of starting that video, right? And one full game. Your best one full game. You got 10? All right, make those 10 into your highlight video. Then your best game, the entire game, a link to that. So highlight, colon, link, full game, colon, link. That's all you need. That is your resume. Name, age, measurables, positions, where you play, stats, current location, highlight, and your best full game footage. That's all you need in place. When someone asks you for information or you reach out to someone, that's the information that they need. They don't need anything extra. Don't tell them how hard you work or how you're going to make this happen or how you're so dedicated. Nobody will hear this shit. All right, everybody says that. Don't say anything that everybody else can say. Okay, just have that information available. Let's recap today's topic. I think I have said enough. Today's topic is how I would get myself into pro basketball starting today. Some of these things are new for you, given the climate, and some of these will never change. Number one, I'll retroactively try to get on a D1 roster just because pedigree and association alone will make it much easier for me to get in the game. But if you happen to be at a D2 or a D3, because maybe you just didn't get that opportunity, didn't get that call, or you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're at a D1, then you got to transfer, and opportunities have dried up on you, as Wes Pfeiffer has talked about. If I'm at a D2 or D3 already, or no college at all, here's what I would do. Point number two, make a decision. Decide that you are all in on this, which means you are ready and willing to make an investment, a monetary investment in yourself and your goals. This is just what it takes. You want to get into a profession in business, not just talking about it. Point number three, find my best possible exposure camps. This is the time investment, your research, finding out where's the best place for you, given your skill, your background, your pedigree, the opportunities that you're looking for, and what opportunities have been created from such places in the past. This is where you got to be honest with yourself. Once you find some camps, point number four, stack your money, because exposure camps are not free. Now, I told you a whole lot about the G League. It's popular because it's technically a tryout for the NBA. You can't say that it is not. As easy, as cheap, as convenient, but what type of payoff are you getting? What type of ROI do you think you can expect from such a small investment? This is just not how life works, people. You got to put the investment in if you want to get the investment out. I know there are a couple Cinderella stories out there, but you ain't heard the whole story. You heard the parts that sound good, and they've been told to you by the people who are trying to sell you something. You really got to consider who's selling you something and what they want from you when they're telling you a story. Look deeper than just what's on the surface. Point number five. I would attend the G League national tryout, probably not a local tryout, but a national tryout, because I get to measure myself against high level competition, players who have been filtered through and chosen to be at that camp. And I know everybody in the G League who makes a decision, everybody who's somebody is at that camp watching what's going on. So that's the best place for me to get seen if the G League is an option for me. Point number six, network. Knowing the right person at the right time and them knowing you could be all the difference that you need of everything that I've said right here. Networking, knowing people brings you more information, keeps you your fingertips on what is going on, your hand on a pulse of what's going on. You always want to know more people. You always want more people knowing you in a positive, favorable way. Point number seven, I would attend exposure camp being held abroad. Why? European players are less selfish than American players, simply, period. European decision makers will be more of them at a camp that is in Europe than in America, simply because it is easier for them to get there. In general, and see, fewer Americans mean you will stand out just by being an American standing in the gym, even better if you can actually play. Now, there does come with a disclaimer that this will be a much larger investment. You're looking at $1,500 to $2,000 easily for any abroad exposure camp that you go to, which means if you're going to invest that type of money in yourself, you better have your game together. Don't go there being a bum and being out of shape during a layup drill. Number eight, increase your chances by going to well-established American exposure camps. The competition will be tough, but it will be professionally run. An established camp is one that keeps happening year after year after year. There are decision makers always coming. There are players always getting signed out of these camps, and there are going to be players who can play. So you, again, have your game together when you show up. Number nine, get footage from all of the above, your college career, whatever you got. Make your best highlight video, 2 to 3 minutes at the most. No frills highlight video, no free throws, no rap lyrics. No pomp and circumstance. Do not wow me with your editing skills. We don't need none of that. Keep the music down very low. I don't even want to know what song it is. Get straight to the substance. Within the first 5 seconds, I better see some basketball. Keep it short. And number nine, have your resume in place. Your name, age, measurables, height and weight, positions, where you have played, your statistics in the places that you played, your current location, where you live, your highlight video link, and your best one full game footage link. That's it. No extras. No stories, no background, no how determined I am. Nobody wants to hear that shit. That's all you need in place. If I was going to go play pro ball right now, that's exactly what I would do. Hopefully that helps some of y'all. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. since we don't have comments or live interaction here, I created a survey so I can learn more about my audience, your needs, your wants, your desires, and how I can best serve you moving forward. So please go to DreAllDay.com/survey and take the Work On Your Game podcast survey so I can learn more about those things that I just said and better tailor future content for you. I appreciate it. DreAllDay.com/survey. Take it now. As you know, my book, Work On Your Game, is coming out February 22nd. Would you like to see a video of me reading to you the introductory chapter of that book? How about learning how I would build my brand starting today? How about me explaining to you how I landed a major book publishing contract? What about the writing process for putting this book together with the publisher? And how about how the Work On Your Game podcast comes to be? Do you want to know exactly how we put this whole thing together? All of those that I just mentioned are bonuses that you get just for pre-ordering my book, Work On Your Game, which is coming out again February 22nd. Go to workonyourgame.net to see all the pre-order bonuses, pre-order that book, and get those bonuses for yourself. Again, that website, workonyourgame.net. I told you I was going to give you tons of value, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work On Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work On Your Game.